life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, verse 3, "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." To fellowship is to share in things. Peter tells us that we are partakers or we are partners. The Christian is one who has become a sharer in the life of God. In other words, God has condescended to fellowship, to share that divine nature, that divine life with us. It's a most staggering, most astounding prospect that we are speaking about. And oftentimes we could not or have not fully comprehend the supernatural aspect of that life with God, that God living in us. But this is what the Bible offers to us. This is what God's Word tells us in the New Testament, that God has come to tabernacle with men, to live with men, and that we may be a partaker of that life with God. So Peter writes in verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So he's telling us that the life that God imparts to us enables us to escape from the debauchery, the decay, the depravity, the corruption that we are seeing all around us. The death, the misery, the pain, the suffering. There is a way out. Indeed, as one late pastor wrote, and he says, "The whole doctrine of regeneration and rebirth leads us to this, that we may be born again, that we may be born from above." The Lord tells us that this life that we have is a heavenly given life, is a divine life. And God wants us to understand that privilege that we have to be partakers of the divine nature. That the being of God has somehow come into us, has entered into us. That God is living with us, in our midst, inside us. And indeed, the Christian is one who has become a sharer in the life of God. And this is what Peter is imparting to us. This is what he's saying to us. There is a divine aspect of that life with God that he wants you to experience, so that you would live on that higher ground, above the miseries, the distressing things that pull us down in this world. There is a way out. There is a life that God is giving to you, and he wants you to live it. Live it so abundantly, live it so fully, live it so joyously. And we cannot tell you how you can trace this life, how you can see this life, right? You can't do that if you go through an MRI. your MRI data won't tell you the nature of God in you, and neither will your X-ray tell you, neither will your CT scan tell you. But God is there with you, and the Lord wants us to be aware of it. So there was a man who came to Jesus by night. John chapter 3, you might have guessed his name was called Nicodemus, right? He was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." There is a way by which God will grant you that entrance to heaven, to the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And so Nicodemus asked, "What is this that you are speaking about? This heavenly life that you speak that would be imparted to all believers? What does it look like? How do you feel? How can you feel it?" And Jesus said to him, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can thou tell whence it cometh and whither it goes?" It's true, isn't it? You look at a kite. How is it that the kite is able to float itself into the heavens? Well, because you know that the wind is there. The wind, though invisible, it has invisible force that is carrying the kite all the way into the high skies. And you know that the kite is flying, the wind is there. So it is with life in the Spirit. "But canst thou tell whence it come, whither it goes? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So you can't really, in a physical way, identify that life. But it is a life that comes, Peter tells us, by the divine power of God upon us, that we may be partakers of divine virtues. God is saying to us here that He is working in our lives and doing something that the excellent goodness and quality of God will come into our lives. And God is saying to us here how God is providing for us, right, that that whereby we are able to be partakers of that divine life that God is imparting to us. Well, the life that you see in the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here upon earth. That power was so great, right? When He walked, in the streets of Palestine, there was no need, right, for any medical facility. Every sick person was healed. There was no disease that He could not heal. Even the dead man was given life, that he may be resurrected from the dead. Wow, that's great, isn't it? Because that is the greatest impasse that we have. Just about a week ago, we were there in the hospital, and there was one amongst us who was stricken with a hemorrhage stroke. And we were all saddened, and we were told that it requires 3 operations, and there is no way that a person at that age and that kind of health would be able to go through 3 operations. And so the weight upon our hearts was this, Is he saved? How can that message of the gospel be carried to him? At this late hour, he had certain semblance of confession in his younger days, even a couple of years back. But today, how do we know? Well, today, I may say after 1 week that is indeed very interesting. He gave off two sounds throughout that period. And that two sound came exactly when we were asking him, do you want to believe? Do you want to believe? And he gave that two sound. That was the only two sound we heard. Was there another day, 2 hours, another day, about half an hour? No sound. And looking back, we thought, as we think, about the kind of response that came, well, we are very thankful to God that the Lord knew the critical weight of the situation. And we realized how fragile we are as we look at the man lying in his sick bed. As you look at him, he was trying to utter some words, but it was not audible. And here we are speaking about end of life. We are speaking about the reality of life. A man's life can be full of activity and glory, but then it comes to a grinding root shock stop. What to do? Is there a way out? Well, there is a way out. Because we, like Peter, have obtained this like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this faith in God, this divine nature that God gives to us, begins with faith in the Word of God. And you will notice in our texts that the Word of God is highlighted. It's highlighted in a very special way. Faith in the Word of God, in verse 1, through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to God, through His Son Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through the knowledge of God that multiplies grace and peace. Verse 3, through the knowledge of Him, the knowledge, through the Word, that knowledge that is given to us, all things pertaining to life and godliness. And verse 4, this exceeding great and precious promises that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow! Through the Word of God, God has condescended to reveal Himself to us. And if you would know what God has said to us, you would be able to find Him. And you would be able to receive the virtues that He has for you to live this life. And you know, what is it that God wants to impart to us? Well, you recall during our first church camp when we came together, we were studying about joy that Jesus Christ imparts. And we were at Proverbs chapter 8. And how the Bible describes to us that in the beginning, when there was no creation, there was the Father and there was the Son. And they were in, and together with the Spirit of God, they were in such fellowship of joy in the Godhead, such unity, such strength, and in the creation, God sought to impart to us that joy. And you know, in the creation of God, God made all things, the living things, the plants, the herbs, the animals, the insects, the sea creatures, the land creatures, the air creatures, but most of all, God made man in His image, that man may be partakers of that joy. That man may be partakers of that divine nature, that fellowship with God, to enjoy that fellowship with the divine. And the Lord wants us to experience that in our lives. And you remember God, when God made the first man and God put him in the garden, how wonderful was that fellowship that Adam and Eve had with God. Before the fall, God put them in a beautiful garden. And you know, as I drove past this week, I saw a sign, "Let's make this city a garden." A garden city. It's a wonderful idea and a concept that God has made in the beginning. Isn't it true? As you look at the plants, as you look at the flowers, as you look at the butterflies, you look at the birds, you look at the nature, the green that God has given us, don't you feel a sense of fullness? Well, God put Adam and Eve in such an environment. And God is saying to us that He is imparting life to us. And He wants us to understand that life. And so it begins with faith in the Word of God, as we have mentioned. And He tells us that it is energized by the divine, by divine power through His words. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. According as His divine power. Now, we are asked to pray. The Lord teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Where does our daily bread come from? Well, it comes from God. You see, and a good picture of that understanding of that divine share, that fellowship, is the life of the people of God, the nation of Israel. Right? When God created the nation of Israel, what did He do? He parted the Red Sea. They crossed through dry land. And God dropped manna from heaven 6 days a week. Well, God wants us to understand that His presence with us and He imparting to us that power, that nature. And God is saying to us that there is indeed that life that He is giving to us. And you know, God is so great, so good. And when Israel was in the wilderness, they had nothing, right? Death, desert, dryness, and yet out of the rock came the water, out of the sky came the quails. God wants us to understand how He is the one that is sustaining our lives. He is the one that is imparting life to us. And the Lord wants us to know how we are energized by the divine power that is given unto us through God. And you know, it's not just a physical sustenance that God is giving us, but here is told to us that God is giving unto us life and godliness. What is that? Well, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my trust. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." So life with God, the prophet Isaiah says that this faith that I have in my God, in His Word, enables me that I will not be afraid. There is no fear of the future, what the future holds for me, because I know that my Lord holds my future. And therefore, in Him, I can rest. I can have assurance. I will not be afraid. And so, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah 45 verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And so God is speaking to us and saying to us, right, that if you would come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, God wants to bless you with His presence. Moses says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." This is what God imparts to us. Peace in our heart. No more struggle. And the Lord is seeking to impart that divine nature to us. And Peter is someone who speaks from experience. Right? The name Simon, he begins this text by calling himself Simon Peter. The name Simon is the word that means unstable. He was not established as a person. Very impulsive, very angry, very unstable in all his ways, all the time. But look at him, how he has matured, how the Lord has imparted life to him, how he had grown. Simon Peter. Right? The Lord changed his name, calls him Peter. There would be stability in his life. A rock. The strength of God imparted to him. John 17 verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding. 1 John 5:20. "That we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." God is imparting to us that life. And, you know, one elderly lady said to us, heaven, the glories of heaven, too good to be true. Too good to be true. Well, we said, let us take God at His word. We said, we begin this text with men of like precious faith. How is this faith so precious? Because it promises us exactly that. You see? And God wants us to take hold of these promises. These exceeding great and precious promises. Are you taking hold of the promises of God? If you are, then you would be living above all the miseries, all the instability that life brings to us. The psalmist says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. If you have God to take care of you through His Son, Jesus Christ, you have all you need. Just as the hymn writer tells us in hymn 109 that we have sung, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. Are you partaking of that divine nature? Are you going to Him? Are you receiving that joy through Him daily? How can we receive it? It is through His Word, through the Word of God. Are you taking time to meditate upon the Word of God? Are you taking time to think and pray concerning the promises that God gives us in His Word? You see, it's a very mysterious thing. How is it that this Word can give life to our hearts? How is it that this Word can give life to our soul? Well, this is what the Lord is saying to us, that if we would take hold of His Word, this is life. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. Isn't it so true? If you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, you have His words of comfort with you, and you are appropriating His word, then you find that the Spirit of God will impart strength to your heart, impart strength to your life, and gives you that strength that you cannot possibly think of as you come to Him. You remember our church camp 2 years ago, we were speaking about prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you have some care? The Lord says to you that you don't let it overtake you. Whatever care that you have, there must be an equivalent prayer that God wants you to supplicate. The word supplication means to pray specifically. What is it that is bothering you? What is it that is causing you distress in your mind? The Lord wants you to articulate it. Write it down. Tell it to the Lord. And then you would experience, right? Paul says, the peace of God. God will impart to you a sense of strength, a stillness in your heart, And you know, it says here that you are to give your request with thanksgiving. In other words, what is God going to do with your request? God is going to answer it. God is going to help you. I recall in the workplace, on the Monday morning, gathered with another colleague, and then we'll sit there and we'll go through a passage of devotion, and then we'll write down our prayer items. Ah, how happy it is if the people of God would bring their troubles to the Lord and pray and seek the Lord, and the peace of God which He promises, the great and exceeding precious promise that He wants to impart to you, will come to you. And so the Lord is saying to us that we are to receive, right, that divine power through the instruction of His words. And so you find that it takes time to understand what God is saying to us. You need to take time to meditate. You need to take time to think. You need to take time to consider. But all the life comes through the Word of God. You see, how much time are you taking or spending with the Word of God? I ask you to ask yourself, how much time do you meditate upon the Word of God? How much is the Word of God a part of you? That life must surely come to you as you meditate upon the Word of God. And you realize that it takes time also. You need patience. You need to persevere. But you know that as you pray, as you look back, you know, if you were to write down your prayer items over a period of time, 6 months, a year, and then you look back again, indeed, I prayed this. 6 months later, I look back and say, God did answer, you know, in this way. At that moment, you may not see, you may not understand. But if you would commit to the Lord, will He not help you? Will He not show you? Surely He will show you. God wants to impart that joy to you, that strength to you, that you are under His care, under the care of the Almighty, and that He's going to bring you to heaven. A most beautiful place that He will make for you. Not only will He bring you to a better place, but He also gave to you a better body. This body is no good. Backache, many different problems, knee pain, eye cannot see that well. Yeah. But the Lord tells us that He's going to give us a new body. And if you are taking hold of the promises of God, then you know where your future lies, what your hope is, and what eternity will bring for you, you see. And then you would be thinking and realizing, what is it that God wants us to do? What is it that God wants you to do in this life? Isn't it to share the divinity of God to the people around us? To show them? But we ourselves must feel and live the presence of God in us, right? And how can we do so? As we said, through faith in His Word. Through faith in His Word. And so we mentioned about the reading the Bible in 1 year. Now we are in September, coming to October,
right?
And I believe that there are those of you who are doing that diligently. And I believe that God will bless you as you take time to read, take time to meditate. You'll find that life energy God gives to you. And it's insight, you see. Virtue. It enables you to give the right response to the people around you in your family. It enables you to give the right response to your colleagues in the workplace. It enables you to live an abundant life, a joyous life, a life filled with God's peace, God's grace. And the Lord wants us to take hold of these things. Begins with faith in the Word of God, energizes by divine power through His words, that we may be partakers, partners of the divine virtue. God wants to impart Himself to us. You know, there's this man who came and asked a Christian to look into the mirror. What do you see when you look into the mirror? If you are a child of God, when you look into the mirror, of course you say, I see myself. But what will God see when He looks into the mirror and look at you? Do you know? He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And what does it mean when you see Christ? It means that, you know, you have been delivered from the misery of sin, the corruption of sin. And next week we are going to talk about that. The corruption, the depravity of this world. He has delivered you in His Word. He has given you the solution, the way out, how to overcome. Are you appropriating it? The Lord wants you to appropriate it. The way out. To be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine virtues. In His Word. His Word cannot be lifeless to you. May I say again, His words cannot be lifeless to you. Because if God looks at you and He sees Christ, the image of Christ in you, then there is a strength, there is a power. You know, if you have given your life over to God in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. He has given you a new nature. You have that power to overcome sin. You have that power to understand His Word. And you have the power to put on the nature of God, the nature of Christ in you. You see, and the Lord is saying to us that we are on that journey towards spiritual maturity. And He wants you to grow in this spiritual virtues, befitting of a heavenly life here on earth. Are you doing so? May we be doing so. Peter is going to write his last epistles, his last epistle. And he is emphasizing to us that divine life that he wants us to live. That we being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, there is a beautiful life that He wants us to live. Life and godliness. May the Lord grant to us an understanding of what is that godly life. through His Word, that we may live that life, that there is that great joy in us, that peace in us that is abiding and abounding. We know where we are going. We know what we are doing. And we are happy because God is guiding us. May the Lord strengthen each one of our hearts so that we may be filled with the promise, the encouragement of God's life in us. He is imparting it to us. And may we appropriate it through His Word this new week. If you haven't been doing so, well, the Word is life. May God impart that life to you. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy, thank Thee for Thy grace. May Thou strengthen us through Thy Word, that we may, that the Christ may be formed in us. Lord, bless Thy people with the blessings of the divine nature imparted to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray. Amen.